The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Place and welcome in. Come on in, relax yourself, and get ready to join in the stimulating dialogue here at the Lotus Place on Black Talk Radio Network. And also, we want you to go on to the Black Talk Radio Network webpage and donate to keep these shows coming to you with powerful information and informing you and giving you the, the inspiration and the knowledge and the power to move forward into a stronger version of yourself, uniting and living your purpose and being you, living your life and your purpose. I always say one of my favorite quotes is, live life and don't let it live you. So welcome in. Tonight is What's on Your Mind Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday. I'm sure Feather Light will be here to give us one of her lovely recipes. And I tell you, I've been on these smoothies, and oh my God, I'm just loving these smoothies with the Ninja. And it's just so simple and easy, and the cleanup is great because I've always wanted to, like, juice more. But, like, having the actual, like, juicers, like those old-fashioned, like, juicers, the humongous ones that would take you, like, 30 minutes to just clean out all the little compartments from all the pulp from the fruits and vegetables. So, but with the Ninja, it's just very, 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 very simple and easy. I love it. That's, like, a super-duper product. Great for chopping up your vegetables or your food. Is just awesome. I remember the first time I actually saw a Ninja, or saw someone use a Ninja, was a friend of mine that's a chef. And I was like, oh, wow, that's one of those little special chef deals. And so, but, I mean, now I know Ninjas are just like a household item for many. And I tell you, I love that joker because I can make my smoothies quickly in the morning. I have a smoothie at night, and I love, like, a beet and mango and, say, like, a little celery in there. Celery is really great for helping to burn fat, and beets are just, like, an all-over excellent food to have. So if you don't like to just eat beets, which I just started eating beets when I started eating Ethiopian food, maybe about 10 years ago, but I never, like, liked really beets. Like, who likes beets? But after I started having the beets with the vegetarian Ethiopian plate, I was like, oh my God, beets are delicious because they're sweet. And so they're actually used as a sweetener as well. If you want, if you have that sweet tooth, you can eat some beets, because beets will give you the sweetness that you're desiring, and beets will also give you like a salty bitterness if that's what your body is craving. That's the amazing thing about beets. But anyway, we want you to call in 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, press pound. And if you would like to share some thoughts or comments, then just press star 61. I'll tell you what's on my mind, and I've been wanting to share this clip. I came across this clip on YouTube. I've always known that my mom loves Sam Cooke, and I just knew from hearing people talk, even before I was old enough to even really have an interest in researching the deaths of people like Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, Marvin Gaye. You would hear people just whisper things and say things. Donny Hathaway, these people that died mysteriously, suicide or plane crashes and things like that. And so I came across this video on Sam Cooke, and I'd like to share this video. And also tonight, we definitely want to salute Marcus Garvey. His transition date was June the 10th. And also, of course, I know Delta will come on and share some hot topics, and we'll talk about this young boy, the Florida Gator attack, and I certainly want to discuss that in comparison to this recent little boy in Cincinnati who fell into the gorilla moat. I think it's called a moat. And remember that? And people were so opinionated as to what should happen with the parents, and somehow it was the parents' fault. They were at fault because the child fell in. So I want to revisit that as we discuss this Florida Disney Gator attack. And my condolences certainly go out to the family, because I know that I don't even have children, but I mean, I have two dogs, and oh my goodness, I can imagine what parents may feel like, because parents are just not supposed to bury their children, right? That's how we feel. So my condolences go out to their family, and may peace be with you. I want to share this clip on Sam Cooke before we go into that story, and also before Sam Cooke, let me see, I want to share this one right here. This is a clip on Malcolm X speaking on Marcus Garvey.
Marcus Garvey was the first black man to come into this country and get a mass movement, an allegiance, support of the masses of black people. Why? Because Garvey didn't care what the white man thought. Garvey didn't care how the white man felt. Garvey had the feelings of the black man at heart. Garvey had the hopes and aspirations of the black man at heart. And the black masses detected this. They felt this. They were conscious of this. So they gave Garvey their support. And anyone today who can get a following among the masses of black people in this country is immediately labeled by the United States government as un-American, as seditious, as subversive, as Marcus Garvey was labeled un-American, as seditious and subversive. Any black man who has the true intention of solving the problem of the masses of black people in this country, the government itself will try and trick that man and trap that man and frame that man, and usually he'll do it by these Uncle Tom Negro leaders whom the government has set up. The Negro intellectual was against Garvey. The Negro professional was against Garvey, because Garvey represented the black man.
You're quite hostile.
I got a right to be hostile, man. My people being persecuted.
And that was on the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And speaking of the Honorable, Feather Light, welcome in. How are you? Namaste.
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 How are you?
We're well here. Namaste to you. Namaste. I know that you have a beautiful reading, a mind, body, and spirit for us, or a poem, a quote, or something that I'm just so anxious to hear. Are you ready to share?
Oh, but of course, Let's see. I didn't know you were going to ask so quickly. Yes, but I am ready.
Okay.
Now, this, I saw this on Facebook, like yesterday, and I have to periodically check Facebook just to see where everybody's mind is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
pulse of the community.
Hmm? The pulse of the community.
Yes, pulse of the community.
Exactly, exactly. So I saw this meme on here once again about making fun of the black woman and the weave, you know. Those. I'm real sensitive, you know, about hair jokes, you know, because I have stories about my hair. And since we're going to be talking about hair for the next couple of shows, I thought that I would got a response to what I saw on Facebook. So the title of this, you're going to have to visualize it too, so I'll help you visualize what I saw so that you can understand the response. So the title of this is going to be called The Jerry Curl versus the Weave. Okay, so there's this Facebook meme that's out and about, and it says, now you got to visualize. Here's the caption that jumps at you first, okay? And then below, there's a picture. So the caption reads, "Black woman, how would you feel if black men walked around wearing white boy hair?" And so right below this question, in big, broad, black letters, is a picture of an older black male. He's in his like late 50s, and you got a side view of him, and he's kind of grinning, and there's this piece of straightened toupee looking hair sitting on top of his head, literally sitting, because it's not covering up his whole big fat head. So this, it stops like halfway up to it, you know, down to the ears, like halfway. And so he's got this look on his face that's just saying, "I know I look good," grin, right? Okay, so this was my response. So I said, let's have a bout, okay? The Weave versus the tag team of the Jerry Curl and the Process. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, we have the Weave, one type of women and men, showing extreme lengths going down past their butts. The straighter the hair, the better. For some, it's a copycat of what they see in the media and a total disdain for their own natural hair. And hair products are manufactured and sold by other groups, making them out like bandits. The Weave can be braided into one's natural hair, glued, or sewn in without having to remove the whole entire head of hair if you want to have it taken out. Its popularity, however, it's slowly fading, with the natural look kicking its butt. And in this corner, we have the Jerry Curl and the Process tag team. The Jerry Curl was created by the European to assassinate the proud halo-bearing Afro and continued by many men long after its reign and popularity. The process, also known as the conch, involved a somewhat torturous treatment of lye left on the scalp till the pain was unbearable. The process and the jerry curl appealed more strongly and longer lasting to the black male, as it stroked their ego. Men felt it gave them a more debonair, Claire type look than their own natural hair. The process was worn by many popular men such as Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, Nat King Cole, and others. The process and the jerry curl could only be grown out or start from new growth and shaved head. Altering the natural texture of one's hair to look like someone else is a sign of discontent with oneself. The black woman is evolving. She is coming into her true nature. Like the black male, she has been tricked into believing she had to alter her natural blackness and everything that comes with it and fall in line with inferior appearances and less civilized practices. Now we are in the cycle of knowing. It's one thing to know, it's another to act on that knowledge. People who make fun of other groups usually feel insecure about themselves. And this can be the result of child abuse, where power is stripped, public humiliation on a constant basis, any form of having one's pride stripped and made to feel hopeless and or helpless. They then abuse others physically, verbally, or emotionally, or a combination of all three, to gain some resemblance of control in order to get back their power and confidence. We understand. The black woman, however, is evolving. And to those who constantly and consistently deride, mock, and scorn the black woman, aiming yet another gun at us. Get information or let this train pass you by. And stop putting bricks and stones on the tracks like a child. Know thyself. Love thyself 100%. So we can use our gifts to get to where we're supposed to be, out of this shithole, because we are who we are. God's. Namaste.
Ooh, namaste, namaste. King, do you hear that? Namaste.
Yeah,
thank
boy.
You, Feather Light. Oh, my goodness.
Like
now, you should be in a car with 12. Give me a little pump. It's like a shot of something good. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Like a power shot. Yes. Yeah.
God,
yes.
Man. The wording, the gift of the words.
Thank you. So powerful and inspiring. People should
hear
that in
the
morning.
Yeah. Oh, we need to know this. We need to feel this. Get on with that. Thank you. I'm taking a bow. Leo taking a bow.
Yes, indeed. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
It was beautiful. Really beautiful. Really beautiful. Inspiring
words that can uplift us. Speaking of words that can uplift us,
again, we're talking all things talk, but I tell you one thing. Let's listen to Marcus Garvey himself talk.
Black men and take. Reach up, black men and women, and pull our nature's knowledge to you. Turn ye around and make a conquest of everything north and south, east and west. And then when you have wrought well, you will have merited God's blessing, you will have become God's chosen people, and naturally you will become leaders of the world because of the superiority of your mind and your achievements. So give us credit for being able to use our minds. And with people becoming conscious of themselves, determined to use their minds, you do not know to what extent they can go. Liberate the minds of men, and ultimately you will liberate the bodies of men. Black men of Carthage, black men of Ethiopia, of Timbuktu, of Alexandria, gave the light of civilization to this world. Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hands unto God, and princes shall come out of Egypt. The world is indebted to us for the benefits of civilization. They stole our arts and sciences from Africa. Then why should we be ashamed of ourselves? Because God and nature first made us what we are. And out of our own creative genius, we make ourselves what we want to be. Follow always that great law. There is no height to which you cannot climb without the active intelligence of your own mind. Mind creates, and as much as we desire in nature, we can have through the creation of our own mind. But in your homes and everywhere possible, you must teach the higher development of science to your children. And make sure that we have a race of scientists par excellence. For in science lies our only hope to withstand the evil designs of modern materialism. With God's dearest blessings, I leave you for a while. One love.
Brothers and sisters, Marcus, Messiah, Harvey.
The Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. Hey, listen, before we talk about Marcus Garvey, hey, can't you tell me what did you, I really want to hear from Feather Light quickly, though, about what piece from that reading stands out to you mostly, this most poignant, and what you would like for people to take from that reading?
Did I just did?
Mm-hmm, yes.
If the energy that we use, tearing each other down,
mm-hmm.
could be used so much better, and gain so much more for us if we come together, like the story I said in the porcupine story. You know, put aside all this bickering. And looking at each other, and then start protecting each other. First, love each other. Love ourselves first. Okay, that was my main point. Love yourself. Okay, love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you love yourself, you won't have all this other stuff that follows. Okay, so obviously you're not loving yourself, and you're not loving somebody that looks like you or whatever that somebody you're supposed to like. You know, it all evolves from loving yourself. So love yourself first. Stop this trying to tear the other person down who is not even your enemy, and then we could utilize the gifts that we have. We all have gifts. We utilize our gifts, and we can get to where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be further now, and this is a time where we're supposed to like come together and then do this. I don't expect everybody in the whole, you know, black community to come together, but those know you're ready. It's time. It's time to put aside the bickering. So I guess my main point is let's use that energy in a totally different direction than what we've been using it in, and use these gifts so that we can get to where we're supposed to be.
Indeed. Hey, King B, turn your TV down or whatever that is in the background, because that's. But we could hear, darling.
So turn that down so we can open your mic back up. And while you're doing that, hey, Brother Brown.
Good evening, everybody. All
right, so I'm muted now.
Hey, Brother Brown.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah,
some of those beautiful speakers.
Marcus Garvey said that.
Thank you, Brother Brown.
Garvey wanted us to understand that we gave the world civilization. Mm-hmm. Without us, would be no civilization. We are the foundation for what they stole from us and want us mm-hmm. to had us brainwashed to believe that we came from nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that we it was pounded into us through slavery of our bodies, but more so of our minds, that we were nothing. Was never nothing, never going to be anything, because we was never anything. And we poured into that because of the psychological conditioning of I got to hand it to the white man. They did a marvelous brainwashing job on us. Just simply marvelous.
Simply marvelous. Marcus Garvey to
come away from underneath that.
We do. We really
do.
And we are. We're coming somewhat out of the sleep and slumber.
I don't know about that when you see what happened.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah. You saw what happened in D.C. Black people gave Hillary Clinton over 75% of their vote. And the issues that black people are facing in D.C., including the erasing of not only the culture, but the population, the Democrats headed by Hillary running a political plantation never addressed the issues of gentrification, police violence, drug running in the black community, rendering blacks to be like zombies and voting against their best interests. And it's just like we just don't have a clue as to what they have planned for us. Betrayed by the Democrats, the Democratic Party, as if like an abused housewife. She knows that her husband doesn't love her, but she'll go back home anyway to him to be abused some more.
Okay, Cantor, let me ask you this. Where did this figure come from that 75% are for Hillary?
The white man.
Okay, so can we trust the figures, the words that come out of the white man's mouth always? Because sometimes these figures are given to disillusion us, to make us feel God, look at those crazy people. Oh, God, I knew we was going to get it. But it may not always be that way. I hesitate to believe the figures that they spout out.
Okay, that might be
true. Tongues.
That might be true, but there's no one coming
forth. They're not going to say anything to make us feel stronger, that's for sure.
Well,
because if they said something, they'd say, well, we're disappointed that the blacks don't seem to be buying into Hillary's foolery. You know, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? They're not going to say that. They're not going to let us feel that, hey, some of us are waking up. Oh, let me get up off my tail too. You know, they're not going to say that. They're thinking ahead of the reaction that we usually give to the information that they put out. They're always doing something to cause reaction from us.
Well, it's true, but unless
we're very reactionary.
Unless we hear from someone down there like Dr. Short to give us maybe a counter response to what's going on in D.C., I tend to believe that blacks go along to get along because we don't want to upset white folks. We're very timid about not wanting to upset white folks. And there's enough blacks,
you got that
enough blacks in D.C. that still got a ticking brain left to have known that they were being asked to do this one thing from the Democratic Party. Be good darkies on the plantation, go to the lever, pull the lever for Hillary, and then go back to your slave quarters and be good darkies.
And sit down with your bowl of grits and call it a day. Let's take a break, Kenty, and we'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And we are back here at the Lotus Place, so welcome in, Brother Brown. What's going on over there in the Eastern Shores? On the East, what do you call it, the Eastern Shores?
Yeah, well, I just want to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that Marcus Garvey said in that speech a while ago, he said, if you liberate your mind first, then you will liberate everything else. Okay.
For your mind.
Liberate your mind. If your mind is not African, and you haven't come away from the ideologies of the Europeans, and you're still thinking that we are on the same planet and on the same as these people, then we're in a world of trouble.
Yeah.
The thing about the political arena is that we never had a party. When these both of these parties were created, we were slaves.
Sure.
No party was ever created to liberate black people. That's number one. Your oppressor will never give you the opportunity to stop being oppressed. So if we don't understand the elements and the control mechanism of white supremacy as a system of global oppression, we just don't. We have to get that first. That's the main element of what he taught, what Dr. Wilson taught, what Neely Fuller taught. Liberate your mind. If your mind is still conducive to the ideologies of your slave master, then you're still a slave. And there's no other way to put it. When you look at this circus that they have created with this election, or what we think is an election, then the illusion that they gave us is that if we don't vote for Hillary, we're going to be doomed. But anytime a woman can stand up and agree to the ideologies of Margaret Sanger, and they give her the Margaret Sanger Award, we are in more trouble than we think we are in.
Yes, sir.
I have not heard one African or one Negro leader speak out against her ideologies of Margaret Sanger. I have put various posts on my Facebook page trying to get people to understand that this woman is a witch. And I agree with Sister Aja. All of us are not on that page. okay, the majority of us, and I've seen more black young women that I hoodwinked into believing that she's a woman. We never had a woman. It's like we never had a black president. Okay, and everybody thought that if we had a black president, things would drastically change for us. Things are not going to change for us until we change us. We change them ourselves. And what I mean by that, the first step to changing anything is to create an economic base. When you are still dependent upon the sons and daughters of your former enslavers who have ideology that have been passed down from generation to generation to control you by any means necessary, they're not going to change. You might have a few, and when they came up with the terminology of multiculturalism, that was one of the biggest cons that has ever been played on black people. It's the same thing. Right. The Black Lives Matter is the new form of the NAACP.
Right.
That's what it is. Nobody can tell me who were the organizers and who are the funders of Black Lives Matter. Because these kids don't have any money.
That's right.
They don't have money to do the things that they have been doing. Somebody is funding them. And the people that are funding them don't look like me or you. But because these children have been fed an illusion of inclusion, they buy it because they have not seen adequate leadership in the black community. I live in one of the poorest counties in the state of Maryland, where the reading scores of the children and the black children and the African children in the public school system is below the whole national level. And I witnessed something the other day that brought tears to my eyes. My goddaughter was promoted from the first grade to the second grade. And it was a little boy and a little girl, and both of them were black African kids. And they failed those kids. Now my question is, what are we going to do about the failure of our children? Are we going to come to church and let them pray to Jesus and hopefully get better grades? No. We need to roll our sleeves up and say, guess what? If the teacher's not teaching you how to read, and you're coming from a disenfranchised household, then somebody has to take it upon themselves to teach these children outside of the public school system. And it hurt me so bad that I went to the teacher and I asked her, I said, you know, has anybody ever tried to reach out to his family? She said, I tried, but I didn't get any response. Now, if you try and there's some negativity here, I mean, this kid needed a bath, his hair was not combed, the shoe springs he had in his shoes were not even long enough to make a knot to keep his shoes on his feet.
Oh.
You know, and I gave her my card. I said, look, if you can get in touch with, because see, if she doesn't do anything, then it has to be upon us. And I know people say, well, I can't go around there and I can't take over people's children. No, you can't. But do we knock on doors anymore and tell people the resources that we have? See, we don't need a lot of money. We just need time. We got, like I just said, we got gifts. Do we share those gifts? We're constantly talking about the negativity that we see, which we already know. But what are we doing to try to change the negativity?
There you go.
I can sit here all night and complain. I can sit here all night and say, this ain't being done, and they shouldn't treat us like this. But God, I'll start to say something. They have been treating us like this ever since they put us on the See, ever since they put us on the slave ship, they have been treating us like we're dirt.
Nothing new.
And people don't understand. People don't understand one element that I have researched. They did not go to Africa to get slaves. They declared a war on Africa through the Catholic Church and captured us as prisoners of war and made us slaves. It was a bishop, Bartholomew de las Casas, who gave the Portuguese the right to tell them to go into the heathen world after the Moors had occupied the Mediterranean for 400 years. He said, okay, after they pushed the Moors out, he said, go over there and enslave them, which means you're declaring war upon a free people. We were not slaves in Africa. And after you capture these people, bring them back to the Western Hemisphere and make them out of slaves. We've been studying the wrong damn history.
Exactly, their history.
We've been studying their history and what they wrote.
It's the same story.
Right. And see, and it's the same thing with religion. I know sometimes people say, well, why do you do that? Because we have to start dealing with truth. We have a spirituality that we need to get back in touch with, and that's our answer. We don't need anything else. We don't need anything from the Asian community. We don't need anything from the European community. The only thing we need to do is understand our own spirituality. That's all we need. And if we understand, if we understood our own spirituality, and if we understood where we stand with the spirit world and our ancestors, then we can turn a whole lot of things around. They told you that Rodin was witchcraft. Well, all we had to do is pick up the daggone dictionary and look up the word witchcraft and see where the origin came from. Buy the book of etymology. Learn that the words that they use and what we use every day are not words that were created by African people. These are European words, European origin with European definitions. So if I tell you right now that blue is black and you don't know any better, then you'll walk around and you see something blue and you'll say that's black because I told you that. I put it in your head. Just like they said that we're black people. No, we're African people. They went so far as not even to tell us what the original name of Africa was. It was Kevin called us Ethiopia, and then they came up with the name Africa.
Yeah.
See, they have always
and the lands were just different names anyway before the whole what was that, the conference that they had? What was it?
Well,
I can't call the name.
The Van
Not
Dunkel.
That one. Not that one. Well, I think it was like in 1853. I can't think of the name of the conference where all the countries were fighting over parts of Africa, and that's how it became divided in all these different countries and colonized. Speaking of colonized, oh, that's the clip that I meant to try to have because the mayor of Puerto Rico said that the United States is perpetrating a fraud and that and that the United States has declared Puerto Rico as a colony based on this debt that Puerto Rico has now with these hedge funds. And Puerto Rico is just Puerto Rico, like Honduras, like Libya. All of these places have been affected in some way by the policies of the United States. And even, I have to say, this congressman, I think his name is Hank Johnson in Georgia, he's supporting or helped support this bill called the Berta Cáceres Bill. She was an environmentalist there in Honduras, and before she was assassinated, and there was some assessment, and it was her, and I think two of her comrades, and she didn't survive. Let's see, and the other two survived, but this was an assassination attempt on some Honduras people. They're the indigenous Lanka people, and so they're trying to, of course, protect their land. It's always about land. Malcolm X talks about that, how revolution is about land. It's all about land, having land, and that's what these people call manifest destiny. It's now just called gentrification, and it's just about taking land, eminent domain. Taking land, they just come up with different names for it, but they do the same thing over and over. Or war, that's what it is. It's war, like a gang war. You just come in, and you just move everybody out. But they make it legal to do this because they price everybody out. Whereas it's like, how the hell somebody has on some type of background? I know it's probably is that you, King B. King B.
I changed rules.
Okay, and so, but it's just like, and I know King B can appreciate it. I mean, we can even appreciate it here in Houston, because when we moved here to Houston, I mean, just like Houston was like one of the cities, whereas that's why so many people move here. The cost of living is so inexpensive, and you can have a lot of home for a small price. And because everything is just big in Texas, as they say, and Texas lives up to that. Even the apartments are huge, right? The homes are massive. These people have massive homes here in Houston. Like, I mean, they massive. Do. Yes. Did you look at them like, is that a home?
Because and they're I all into that. The, is that somebody's
yeah,
home?
Yeah. Is that a home, or is that like a museum? Because there's so many museums here. But anyway, my point is the fact that Bertha Cáceres in Honduras, she was assassinated, and so before she was assassinated, she was always saying that the United States had their hands in the politics, and in this, they don't want to call it, Hillary Clinton doesn't want to call it a military coup, right, King B? It's like, she wanted to say it was just like a coup, but but couldn't call it a military coup. But they removed, as what happened in Puerto Rico and everywhere else, Haiti, these people are removed, democratically elected people are removed. Brazil are removed from office. And it's like, what the hell is going on with this? Why is it that people can't, if your vote counts, you need to make sure you get out and vote. What, I mean, what the hell, if you decide, just like with George Bush and what's the other one, Al Gore, if you just make a decision on who the hell the damn president is going to be, well, how does my vote count? And every damn year, they sit here and tell these people, this is the most important election. Well, goddamn, y'all been saying this shit ever since I was able to vote. Now that I think about it. All of them the most important. Shit.
Look what happened to the people in Chile. They voted for the first time for a Democratic elected president, Dr. Salvador Allende. Henry Kissinger used for an excuse to derail the people's democracy. He said, must we let the country go socialist because the people vote socialist? Mm-hmm. Imagine the arrogance and the racist mentality of a German Jew named Henry Kissinger, who cannot fly mostly to anywhere in the world because he's a wanted man, so he stays primarily here in the United States.
Let me see, I think Southern Light may have another mind, body, and spirit for King Ben, Brother Brown. Before I play this, I want to share this Sam Cooke clip. But before we do that, Southern Light, would you like to share your mind, body, and spirit, or do you want to share that after the break?
I just have a recipe. We could share that.
We have a recipe for us.
Okay, here's one. It's a beet smoothie.
you know, beets lowers your blood pressure. It improves your stamina. Mm. It boosts your immune system. Mm-hmm. It's high in fiber, potassium. It's actually one of those foods that is good for everything: your bones, your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, and it's just a really good food to put into your smoothies, because when you start cooking beets, then you cook the nutrition out of it. You know, all the nutrients disappear from the cooking. So the best way to get the vitamins and the nutrients from the beets is to put it into a smoothie. So, and when you do that, it's best to, you know, include the roots, the beet, and the stems, the beet itself, as well as the meat, because they all are packed with everything that the body needs, okay, including calcium, iron, all that. Okay, so we're saying all this to give people a chance to get a pencil on paper if they want to. As I said, use the whole beet, the beet, the leaf, the stem, and keep in mind the beets are strong in color, just like turmeric. They both will stain very easily. I always use paper towel or a dishcloth that I don't mind staining, because that color is what's really so powerful. Both of those are very powerful foods, the turmeric and the beets, which speaks highly for the color, the staining. So just want to let you know that. And wasn't it also used for in dyeing clothes by Africans, black clothes? You told me that. So it has a very rich purple color. Okay. So few pieces of pineapple, just a handful, one small lime, I prefer lime to lemon, one half a banana, a few slices of cubes of watermelon, a few cubes of cantaloupe. So this melon is it's providing a lot of liquid, and it's good for cleansing your system. A little bitty tiny piece of habanero, another color food. Notice I'm saying color foods. You got the watermelon, the habanero, okay. A few pieces of mango. I put chia seeds in all of my smoothies. So
oh, my God.
They're delicious. You know, I mean, just keep some
now, chia seeds. Could you share, or let me see, I can share it, or if you can share offhand, the many benefits of chia seeds for people that may not be familiar with chia seeds.
Okay. Chia seeds contain omega-3 fatty acids. Okay, everybody knows about the omega-3 fatty acids.
They may not know.
Okay, all right.
Enlighten.
It's one of the main nutrients that we need for our body. I can look it up later of what all it involves, but just make a note: omega-3 fatty acids. Google it.
Omega-3 fatty acids.
Fiber.
Yeah.
Omega, O-M-E-G-A, and it has a hyphen, 3, the number 3, and fatty acids.
I know it's good for your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Definitely good for your brain.
Okay, so that's
cognitive.
That's a number one. Yes, cognitive thinking helps you to think clearly, make decisions. Mm-hmm. If you know how to make decisions, you'd be up a creek. Okay, it has more iron than spinach, more calcium than milk, more antioxidants than blueberries, and
what?
Yes. That's a chia seed. That's why I throw it in each smoothie I make.
Okay. Oh my goodness, than blueberries.
Right. I know.
Jeez.
You always hear about blueberries. You always hear about blueberries. Okay.
Love my blueberries in the morning.
Yeah. And so, you know, the watermelon is great for cleansing your body. But so let's see, I was giving you recipe.
Oh, mm-hmm. All right.
And the last thing was about 3 ounces of either coconut water or coconut milk. And you blend these ingredients into the taste and drink cold. You know, ice cubes also substitute for water, and it makes it nice and chilled, you know, for you. So you can use, do this little smoothie. You want to, you know, periodically replicate smoothies, but you can look on the black, I mean, a Lotus Place radio, and there are several recipes, smoothie recipes there. But instead of having like 3 to 5 ounces of beef or chicken or fish, a vegetable or salad, a roll or whatever, and a glass of tea for lunch, just have a smoothie. Just have a smoothie. And substitute a smoothie for a meal. You know, all these nutrients and cilantro, I forgot. I didn't mention cilantro.
Oh, I love cilantro.
That's to me like chia seeds. I put cilantro in everything too, because cilantro removes the toxins from your system. So, and it gives you a nice little kick. You know, you can kind of taste that little, you know, leafy like feel good
flavor
of cilantro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sort of lemony leafy.
Lemony leafy.
Okay, so that is my little recipe. A power packed smoothie.
A power packed smoothie. Now, would you say that's a good one for the morning or a good one for a night?
I think it's a good one for, actually, you can have it anytime. But I would I try it in the morning first, because it has protein that gives you some energy. That habanero, you know, gets your blood warmed up, which is good for cutting back, speeding up your metabolism. So, and you know, you can kind of play with the recipe. Once you get the recipe, kind of, you know, play with the, you know, if you don't have watermelon, it's okay, cool. You know, go without the watermelon. If you don't have a banana, do you have avocado? They both make it smooth. If you don't have a lime, but you got an orange, it will give you that citrusy flavor.
Ooh,
that
yeah.
you that you like. The pineapple also gives you citrusy flavor. You know?
Yeah, and you just have to, like, go to, if you live in an international kind of city or a place where there's, like, a market, and then you can find a pretty decent price on the pineapples. And the pineapples will just,
they
just give so much flavor to anything. I love pineapples.
Oh, they really do. They really, really
pineapples.
Do. And you know that that's good for your pineal gland,
Indeed. Let's take a break and then let's come back. And I want to hear what else is on your mind. You can call in to the Lotus Place, 641-715-3660 and 549-032#. Is the participant code. And let me just give that out again. And you know what, kid, I need you to start reading that out, because you have such a good voice. And Brother Brown, you can read it out for me.
You should.
Because I know people get tired of hearing me say it. Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let me just give it out now. 641-715-3660 is the number to call in. And then 549-032, press pound. And then press *61 so that you can share your thoughts and comments. And so we will take a break, and I want to hear your thoughts and comments and what's going on in your world. And I think also we should hear just this little clip from the mayor in Puerto Rico when we come back. I thought that was a very good interview. But right now, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Well, the Senate is set to consider a bill to create a federally appointed control board with sweeping powers to run Puerto Rico's economy to help the island cope with its crippling debt crisis. The bill, known as PROMESA, passed the House last week in a bipartisan vote of 297 to 127. Democratic Congressman Luis Gutierrez spoke out against the bill.
We're engaged today in a wholly undemocratic activity in the world's greatest democracy. We're debating how we will take power from the people who are virtually powerless already. Think about it. You are imposing a junta, because that's what they're calling it. There will be no difference between this junta and the junta of Pinochet in Chile, as far as the international community is concerned.
But many of Luis Gutierrez's longtime allies in the Congressional Progressive Caucus back the bill, including New York Congressmembers Jose Serrano and Nydia Velazquez, as well as Arizona Congressmember Raul Grijalva, who said the bill was needed to address Puerto Rico's humanitarian crisis.
H.R. 5278 is not the bill I would have drafted, or the colleagues on my side of the aisle would have drafted. The oversight board is too powerful. The board is yet another encroachment on the sovereignty of the people of Puerto Rico, and rightfully so, they find it offensive. So here is the bottom line. Puerto Rico is drowning in debt, and H.R. 5278 is a lifeline. This is the only bill that will attract enough support from my Republican colleagues on that side of the aisle to pass in Congress, a Congress they control. Many of the provisions I oppose are the very provisions that will probably attract Republican support. We have worked for months across the aisle and with the administration, and this is a compromise with the best opportunity to pass. When measured against a perfect bill, this legislation is inadequate. When measured against the worsening humanitarian crisis in Puerto Rico, this legislation is necessary.
In the Senate, Robert Menendez, Dick Durbin, and Bernie Sanders have come out against the bill, and any one of them could filibuster the legislation. The debate in the Senate comes as the Supreme Court has issued two major decisions about Puerto Rico. On Monday, in a 5-2 decision, the High Court rejected Puerto Rico's bid to establish its own bankruptcy law that would have let the island's public utilities restructure about $20 billion those entities owed to bondholders. That decision came just days after the Supreme Court ruled against Puerto Rico in a separate case, a ruling regarding the island's sovereignty, its sovereignty rights in criminal cases.
To talk more about these political and judicial developments, we're joined by two guests from San Juan, Puerto Rico. We're joined by the city's mayor, Carmen Yulín Cruz. And here in New York, we're joined by Natasha Licia Orabanyan, president of the National Lawyers Guild and associate counsel at Latino Justice. Her latest article for the Huffington Post is the United States makes the case for why Puerto Rico is still its colony. Let's go first to San Juan, to the mayor. Your response to the legislation right now in Congress.
Well, first of all, good morning to everyone and greetings from San Juan, Puerto Rico. You don't add up a democratic situation. You don't put fuel to a fire. And what the Congress has done, what the President of the United States has done, what the judicial system has done, is they have unveiled to everyone, the international community and everyone in Puerto Rico, that we are a colony of the United States. PROMESA is a broken promise to the people of Puerto Rico. They have put their backs towards the rights of Puerto Rican people, and they cannot move forward an agenda which will help the development of the Puerto Rican economy. Since 1952, the U.S. has admitted, based on the actions, that it has perpetrated a fraud on the international community when it asked for Puerto Rico to be taken out of the list of colonies. So we are a colony. That being said, what are we going to do in Puerto Rico, and what are the representatives? And I have to thank Luis Gutierrez for standing his ground and standing with the people of Puerto Rico on this. But what cannot happen, and what people need to know, is while in the U.S., people are fighting to increase minimum wage to $15 an hour. This colonial control board will lower minimum wage in Puerto Rico for people 25 or under at $4.25 an hour. This colonial control board could sell our natural resources. And this colonial control board will have sovereign powers to revoke anything that our next governor, our next legislature, or any public official of the Puerto Rican government elected by the democratic vote of the Puerto Rican people will do. So we have no voice because we have been left to be voiceless by those that claim to be the beacon of democracy in all of the world.
Mayor Julene, I want...
And so, of course, that's going on all around the continent of Africa, all around the world. But finally, people are beginning to speak up and stand up and call it what it is. We're colonial subjects. Still living on plantations. Just able to kind of live in different areas, but you're still relegated to certain areas. You still stay a little distance from the big house.
See, here's the genesis of the problem. Here's the genesis of the problem for Puerto Rico. Most people don't remember or don't even know the genesis of the problem for Puerto Rico. When the freedom fighters had summoned America to help them get Spain off of their back, America didn't tell them, we won't be doing this for free. You're going to get rid of Spain. We're going to help you get rid of Spain, but we're going to become your new slave master. We'll call you a colony. We'll call you a commonwealth. So the word sovereignty, which the freedom fighters was hoping to obtain after they got Spain off their backs with the help of Native America, America didn't tell them that they will never get their sovereignty because they had, this country's government had a trick of the sleeve, which was to deny the freedom fighters, who were divided amongst themselves because they didn't want to include the blacks as part of the Freedom Party. The freedom liberating the island. So because they were divided amongst themselves, didn't want to include the blacks, this racist government capitalized on that old saying, divide and conquer. Look at Puerto Rico today. Just look at Puerto Rico today. And the audacity and the mitigated gall to let the slaves party on Fifth Avenue once a year, calling it Puerto Rican Day. What a gall. What an insult. It's like the slaves allowed to party on the weekend before they go back on the plantation. Come sun up, before sun up on Monday, but you can party from sundown on Friday until sun up before sunrise on Monday. But you better be on the cotton patch when you're told to be up there. So now the Puerto Ricans are told when to be on Fifth Avenue, what time they better be off. Some of the stores are boarded up. You know, the one. Has the stores smashed. But you know, the sad thing about it, Puerto Rican people don't understand. They think they're white, and they sympathize trying to be white, and their country's being raped. Now they're going to really see how much they're hated. With the aid of Congresswoman Lydia Velasquez, Jose Serrano, these are well-known Puerto Ricans. They go along with the program for the raping further of their motherland.
You know what? And ironically, that incident, the mass shooting in Orlando, Florida, that club, it happened to be Latin night, and it was mostly Puerto Ricans and blacks.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of those Puerto Ricans who were there migrated from Puerto Rico because of the.
Well, they said that 43 of them, 43 of the 49 or something like that, were Puerto Rican.
Yeah, and they're migrating into Orlando, which is already stressed out. Oh, they have no jobs for these people coming
migrating
to Puerto Rico. And it's just a monumental mess. And it's going to be an explosion of major proportion that most people in the, are not prepared to understand that this government caused the problem when it didn't allow freedom fighters to go on with their sovereignty.
Well, King D, can I read a little bit about Marcus Garvey?
Oh, go ahead. Yes, my
man. Okay. All right. So, Brother Brown, can I read a little bit about Marcus Garvey?
Is he there?
Did we lose Brother Brown? Brother Brown. Okay. I'll take that as a yes. The Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey Jr. He was born August 17th. I think that falls in the Leo category, so no wonder he was so what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Flamboyant.
Charismatic.
That's it. That's the word I'm looking for, exactly. August 17th, I believe that is Leo. 1887.
Yes, it is.
Yes. No wonder I'm so attracted to Marcus Garvey. It's that Leo spirit. Oh, my goodness. Yes, transition date June the 10th. Oh, excuse me, I'm thinking about Juneteenth this weekend. Mm-hmm. June the 10th, 1940. Now, Marcus Garvey, yes, and I'm reading this a little bit from online and a little bit from my Norton Anthology of African American Literature book by Henry Louis Gates Jr. and Nellie Y. McKay, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, whose name continues to evoke the glorious Back to Africa slogan with which it is inextricably linked, was easily the most controversial figure associated with Harlem in the 1920s. A hero to millions of blacks, he was scorned by many of their other leaders and intellectuals. W.E.B. Du Bois clashed openly with Garvey over basic questions of leadership, and even Wallace Thurman, who professed to admire him, once described Garvey as composed of a charlatan, mountebank, savior, and fool. Many people who admired Garvey for his seemingly inexhaustible energy and vision were bewildered by his flamboyance and his equally apparent lack of business sense. No one can deny, however, that Garvey was a profound human force during the Harlem Renaissance, a mighty shaper of attitudes and molder of opinions concerning the rights and destinies of black Americans. Born in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica, Marcus Garvey had to quit school at the age of 14 to help support his family. He found work as a printer's apprentice in Kingston, the capital of Jamaica. Moved by the economic and social inequities he saw all around him, he helped lead a printer's union strike in 1907. 3 years later, he founded Garvey's Watchman, a periodical that quickly failed. He moved on to Costa Rica, where as a timekeeper on a banana plantation, he indignantly witnessed the exploitation of black laborers by their lighter-skinned taskmakers. I'll
I'll stop there. And I think that what we can do is share some pieces like that, and Feather Light is going to introduce her Lyrical Angels piece, where she will share with us some characteristics of some of our lyrical angels. Like, you can tell us better than I can, Feather Light. Would you like to share that, and then we can move on a little bit more into what you guys have on your mind too?
Yes. Let me see. Oh, here we go.
Lyrical angels.
So, the lyrical angels segment is going to be a salute to our angels who were sent here to give us messages through lyrics and songs.
Ah.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
So,
yes.
So music is a form of communication, you know, worldwide. And so it plays a very functional role in African society. And traditionally, it was so important. Everything that we did, you know, as a people, from birds and rites of passages and, you know, hunting and, you know, all kinds of activities. So music has been used to bring about things, to ward off evil spirits, pay respects, and just all things that we as African people are about. So I wanted to, on the Lotus Place, give recognition to some of the spirits who have visited us and adorned us or blessed us with their lyrical sounds, some who are still with us, some who transcended, and just kind of look at the messages that they had in their music, what they were saying. I mean, it's not just, you know, like something to dance to, but just actually listen. And some of them were actually prophesizing, you know, things. So we will start that shortly, but just to give you a taste of an idea of some of our lyrical angels that we're talking about. One, of course, a favorite of many, is Marvin Gaye. Okay, so everybody's familiar with his song, you know, "What's Going On." You know, he's talking about stuff that's happening in the streets. You know, so we will play little bits of the song, and then we'll talk about it. We'll talk about unknown information or facts about the particular artist, you know, and that we will be honoring. Things that really not unknown, but not known by many, okay? Mm-hmm. So, Inner City Blues, you know, that was really a powerful song talking about our life on the streets. So that's what we mean by salute to lyrical angels. We'll have people like Jill Scott, you know, just cause an activist in her own right. She started out as a teacher wanting to teach children, ironically speaking, through music, teach them a different way of learning, you know, and that's what we have to remember. We are a people that learn by doing, by participating, by getting involved in it. We have a lot of energy, so sitting around, excuse me, listening to someone go on and on about another people that don't even look like us is not really interesting. So yes, we would get bored. So she was dismissed. She was dismissed and fired, or she either had enough and quit. But either way, She was dissatisfied with the fact that they wouldn't allow her to teach that way. And then she just got into music. So if you really listen to her songs, she has a lot of messages to us. One in particular I like is it's like, "What would you be without me?" And she's talking about the black woman. There would be no more brown babies. You know, who's gonna look after your children? You know, it's really deep, and it's talking to the black male. You know, like, I'm, you know, are you really wishing that I would just like poof disappear? Just like, I mean, one day it's me, and then she ends the song like you know, and one day, and then she just stops the song as if, like, poof, she just disappeared. To me, that was pretty powerful. So, of course, there's Tupac, who had so many messages in his songs, like, "Why do we hate the ladies that make our babies? And one day we'll have a generation who hates the ladies," or something like that. And it's just what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, hate
enemy
the ladies that
having
the
baby.
Yeah. The enemy knew that he was evolving to the point where he was channeling a powerful to reach
exactly
the untutored mob.
And definitely Michael Jackson as well.
Michael
Man in the Mirror,
Archangel. Yeah. Oh my God, that's one of my favorites.
Well, what about the album?
Yeah.
You remember the jacket that was called "Remember the Time"? Remember the time it had the
Exactly.
Remember the Time.
The jacket was filled with ancient Egyptian artifacts.
Oh my goodness!
You know,
MJ did that.
Huh?
You were speaking of his costume.
Well, yeah, it was
the
ancient Egyptian hieroglyph was on the jacket, and was telling our story. And he just added, "Remember the Time" was an album that was glossed over by the enemy because Michael was deviating from his script. He wasn't supposed to go that way, they don't like you when you go against the grain on behalf of your people.
Oh,
I think that's why Muhammad Ali should never be forgotten.
Right.
Because he didn't write music, but he wrote some powerful poetry, and he knew the history of black people. His poetry was like music, but between Michael, Tupac, and the sister you mentioned earlier,
Jessica.
Yes. And what happened to India RE, or the sister who went to jail for income tax problem?
Oh,
Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh, God.
She predicted what we're going through right now with the music thing.
You
know.
See that?
She was like, you know, What are you putting out? You know, what is this? I mean, have you
being
just
a sellout?
Right.
Not being
right.
a straight up man.
This is not what we're supposed to be doing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She had some powerful words in her music.
That's why.
And then they pretend like she was losing her mind. You know, so people wouldn't listen to her anymore.
Always. When you stand out there by yourself, you don't have no one to cover you where they can, the enemy know to back off. They came after Nina Simone. Didn't they come after her?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they come after Nina Simone?
And look how Nina Simone, how her life just completely changed from her being such a superstar to being like a home. Oh,
yes.
My God.
She was a warrior. She was like our queen in finger in music.
Oh, yeah.
She was unrelenting. And I don't care what kind of psychological problem they said she had. I'm certain if she had a man at her side that understood where she was coming from, it may not have been to the point of no return, but she had a man that was a former cop that said that when he came on the on his beat, that people would run. So therefore, and this is a
Oh, yeah, he was dangerous. He believed
in brute force.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Nina sung that song that got Mississippi mad, but she sung it with the fervor that we should never forget her. Mississippi
mm-hmm.
got mad. Because we
mm-hmm.
find today that in the Delta area of Mississippi, slaves still on the plantation, and they are so afraid to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, the video is called Cotton Picking Truth. And it's a premium through WBAI, the Pacific radio station. You can call the station WBAI and maybe see if you can get it ordered. But it has interviews with slaves on the plantation. Yeah, my lord, 2016. Afraid to leave the plantation.
Speaking of the Delta, let's welcome in Delta. Let's welcome in Delta. You know
Delta.
You know Delta. Hands, hands, twitching.
Hey,
baby,
y'all know I'm
down.
Not on no plantation down in the South.
Delta, a real estate mogul,
and she's supposed to be bringing us some classes and tips, and we're waiting. And Delta, call me after this show because we need to talk about this other project that I keep trying to get you guys to get with. So it's time to do it now. Okay. What's up, Delta? I know you have some hot topics, and I know you itching and ready. Oh, yes, we have some great hot topics. Yes. King B, I want to get King B take on this hot topic.
Uh-oh.
We got a white woman from Mobile, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Goes in to have a baby. Listen, King B.
Okay.
She goes in to have a baby. And the husband was so proud. She white, the husband white. But she goes in and have the baby. When the baby come out, the husband waiting to see his baby. And the baby was black as tar.
Y'all ain't heard the story.
She told the husband. The baby came out a real dark skinned baby. So the woman had to come up with a story. Now listen at this story. This is why it's so funny, because it made the news. The woman told the husband she went to a portable bathroom that they have at a concert. And it was some, now, you know, you got to be stupid to even do this, and you see it. She said there was some sperm on some tissue. And she accidentally wiped herself and slipped in front of
Girl, bye.
Stop it.
I'm
going to send y'all the story. I'm not telling no lie.
I did. I saw that story.
You
it was
saw
it? I didn't read, like, all the way through it.
Oh, boy.
Because when I
that
saw the part about, when I read through the part where
she
became pregnant by using the porta potty or whatever, I was like, what the heck? Come on now. Like the sperm jumped up, because I thought maybe she was trying to say the sperm jumped
now
up out
you
of
know.
The toilet and she was impregnated. I said, oh, Lord, these people.
Now, you know that white woman went up in that porta potty or whatever they want to call it and had sex with that black man.
And all
and
like that.
And having an affair with him. Probably been having an affair with him all the time.
She doing it all
and
like
the
a bad dancer.
Look.
And the husband had the nerve enough. Now, let me tell you how
and
stupid he
the
is. The husband
that's
had the nerve enough.
That's why she gave
that
stupid excuse, because she knew he would buy it.
Mm-hmm. The husband says,
that he stands by his wife and he believes her.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
You let me tell Papa that the toilet tissue impregnated me with some blonde hair and blue eye face.
Your husband says in the name of Jesus.
And they actually got the nerd apprentice?
It's a story. It was so hilarious, but it's a true story. It made the news.
That's crazy.
It literally made the news.
That's crazy. Okay, Delta.
The husband, the husband and the family was flabbergasted when the baby came out black.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to send y'all a picture of the story and of the baby. Knew. The baby came out real dark.
So it's either one or two things. You have some Negroes in that family tree. Just shake that, what they say, you shake somebody's tree hard enough, some Negroes
Yeah.
Very
pronounced.
Or either
you've been having an affair.
Now,
come on,
you've been having an affair with Tyrone.
Now, King B, what's she giving it up to the black man?
Freely, she said, come and get it, Mr. Black Man.
The front and the back and everywhere else.
Fill me, front, you know, they are, they adore the idea of the back door entry. They're getting salted. If you don't use the back door, not to mention the front door is fine.
Y'all know their husband passed. You know their husband passed out when he seen the baby, and the nurse comes. Listen, y'all can imagine the doctor standing there delivering the baby. The husband's waiting. The nurses and everybody's waiting for the baby to come out. The husband all excited, waiting for his blue-eyed, blonde-haired baby.
Uh-huh.
And this black popcorn pop out.
Did the baby have nappy hair too?
No, baby had straight hair. Now.
Baby had curly hair. No such thing as nappy hair. Baby had curly hair. They love that curly hair too.
All they have to do is look at the baby's ears. You know, they say, look at the ears. They don't care you how dark your baby is.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I know he is with his self. I'm not even going to say anything. With his self, look. That's it.
With his self.
Can you imagine
when her husband goes to nursery that's my son. That's my daughter.
Papa would pull out a gun and try to shot me over the face.
Come out, look. You laying up there with your legs, and pop goes your little blonde hair, blue eyed baby. Delta, come on. Speaking of baby, tell us. I know you want to give us another date on the air.
What Papa said? He would have killed me and the baby too.
You know, Papa would have been running everybody out that house with his operating room with his little shotgun, hon. I can see him now. Everybody get out.
Everybody out. You know, Papa said he'd be shooting a shotgun up at the ceiling. Everybody out.
This place will be indefinitely closed down.
Girl, I can see Papa now, boy,
raising the roof.
He'll do like the Denzel Washington movie, take over the whole hospital.
Okay, look.
Let's go to another serious note before our time run out on us. We're going to get two serious ones in right quick.
Okay.
Now, y'all know I hadn't talked about healing in a long time, but I must see.
I must tell you
about this story. Now, y'all know I've been good. I hadn't talked about killing in over 3 months.
Tales of the Crypt.
Okay.
And it's been really grand.
This is a black mother. And this is what we got to realize in the black community. We when people are suffering with mental illness, we in the black community really bad try to not let anybody find out about it. We be trying to keep it a secret. And we got one that, you know, we try to keep it a secret in the family when you know someone have mental illness. But this mother had two little girls, a black mother. She's 30-something years old. And the mother had been working and doing great. And all of a sudden, the mother went in to have her baby. And when the mother had the baby, the mother started suffering with depression right after she had the baby. And they call it postpartum depression. And the mother went in and suffocated her two little girls. Now, don't you know, when you suffer with postpartum depression, people can see the change in you. Don't you know somebody should have saw the change in this mother with these two little girls who the age
of... What are some of the symptoms of it?
Well, I came down with postpartum depression with my first child. I only had it with my first one. I didn't have it with the other two, just the oldest child. And the doctors back then, when I came along, they really didn't know too much about it. They would say you was crazy. But now we have came with so much medical technology now. Now they have found out that when you have a baby, that the body goes through so many hormonal changes, it throws the chemicals off in the it throws the chemicals off in the brain's off balance. And you start suffering with depression. And like some people wanted to, most of the people wants to harm their children. Now me, I never wanted to harm my son, but I was afraid of my son. I didn't want to harm him. I was afraid of him. And
did somebody notice
that is
you
correct.
Were?
Yes. Yes, my husband and my family noticed it. And I began to tell them that I was afraid of the child. And so they took me to the doctor. And back then, like I said, they didn't know too much about it. But now...
So what year was this? About what year, Delta?
I had my son in 1979. And he's 37 now. And now you can get medicine, because I remember when I had my son, there was another young lady, which was a Caucasian young lady. She came down with postpartum depression, and she was a very successful woman, and she never came out of it. They literally had to institutionalize her and take her. The family had to raise the child. But now they said they can give you medicine when your body started getting chemically off balance. They can give you medicine. So this young mother killed her two daughters. But what I'm saying, somebody had to see these signs, because the little baby, the last little baby, looked like it was about 1 year old. And the family's saying that it all started when she had this second child. Now, don't you know, if you know it started when she had the second child, don't you know somebody should have stepped up and did something and gave her some help?
Well, did you say that she was married or what?
No, she's not married. It didn't say, you know.
So we don't know if she was married, so maybe... maybe she was taking some medicine, and it still happened. Let me read some of the symptoms. A long list. Yeah, that's what I would like to know. What can we look for? Okay, so postpartum depression. If you have had a baby within the last 12 months and are experiencing some of the following symptoms:
you feel overwhelmed. Not like, hey, this new mom thing is hard. More like, I can't do this, and I'm never going to be able to do this. You feel like you just can't handle being a mother. In fact, you may be wondering whether you should have become a mother in the first place. You feel guilty because you believe you should be handling new motherhood better than this. You feel like your baby deserves better. You worry whether your baby can tell that you feel so bad, or that you're crying so much, or that you don't feel the happiness or connection that you thought you would. You may wonder whether your baby would be better off without you. You don't feel bonded to your baby. You're not having that mythical mommy bliss that you see on TV or read about in magazines. Not everyone with postpartum depression feels this way, but many do. You can't understand why this is happening. You're confused, scared, irritated, angry. You have no patience. Everything annoys you. You feel resentment towards your baby or your partner, your friends who don't have babies. You feel out of control, rage, sadness, to the depths of your soul. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
You feel sadness to the depths of your soul. You can't
stop crying.
Even when there's no real reason to be crying, you feel hopeless. Oh, my. Oh, damn. I'm getting depressed. Oh, I need some tea, a sip of wine or something. Oh, Jesus. That's enough. And it's more. I'm like, See, oh, my God. That's just too much. That's too much. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, that'll make you want to do something.
And see, and that's what happened to the young lady, the white lady in Texas, where her husband had her living in that bus and was homeschooling all these kids, and she drowned all five of these kids. And what was her name? Angela. Ooh, I can see her face. This is good. It was a big story out of Texas where the
that lady, she's still at the
mental institution,
exactly. I can't call her name either. The lady with the funny hair and dark hair.
And they said the husband was making her have one baby after another one and living in a bus.
Barefoot and pregnant. Wow.
And he saw that she was having problems. But he just
kept going on about it.
What man in his right mind was? He was stupid himself to make his wife with five kids live in a school bus.
He wasn't stupid.
Move
was
out of their home.
You just never know what people going through, and maybe she was escaping something that she thought was worse than would be living with this man. It turned her into a murderer.
And this is my last hot topic
for today. I want to talk about this other little crazy story. My crazy stupid story. What I call crazy stupid story. I'm not going to say crazy stupid, but anyway, go ahead, Delta.
Okay, I wanted to talk about, let me get this minute in and one more. This one here is the governor of Alabama. He is being impeached for lying about having sex with his mistress. Do you think he should be impeached? Then we want to talk about the story too. Down in Florida, now we know the silver gorilla swung the little boy around.
Silver gorilla. The silver gorilla.
Slung the little boy all around. And they had to put him down.
Right.
So now there was the alligator. All of a sudden at this result, and they have, it's on the, when you rent the room, I found out today, it was on the news. When you rent this resort hotel down in Disney World, they warn you about the alligators that's in the pond. Okay, they said since the little boy was eight, they said he was drowned, they said he wasn't ate up. But okay, they was looking for the young baby. The mother and father standing right there on the beach with the little baby. And the alligator managed to pull the little boy in and drown him. So where's the outrage to go pull the alligators out of the water to kill them? So, but they did go today. And
yeah, they,
what the news said, they pulled five alligators out of the water.
And
but listen,
killed them.
They didn't try to find them. They killed them. Look, they didn't say, I bet you they killed them.
Well, they did. They
didn't
hear
no outrage about that.
They killed them. They said they was euthanized them to determine if the baby spotted them, but they found the baby.
Yeah,
they pulled. Now, that's something. Now, let me play these clips because remember when that happened with Harambe and the child, there was this outcry to take the children away, the other children away
right.
from the parents, right?
Right.
So let me just play this clip.
The investigation into what happened at the Cincinnati Zoo continues. Everyone seems to want to weigh in on this around the world through social media. We spoke to some parents here in the tri-state.
Felt terrible for the gorilla, obviously. You never want to see that happen. But then also, I feel for the parents.
Parents of young children are weighing in after a four-year-old boy was injured.
The gorilla first. Wait a minute. Right. You notice how she said the gorilla first now. Gorilla first.
Yeah.
Oh, and then,
he's
oh,
injured,
yeah.
And the gorilla
and then
shot
by the
dead
woman.
To protect him.
I think the parents are negligent. So,
look, parents
if anything,
negligent.
I think it would be there.
I think that, you know, it should bring more awareness. You need to keep an eye on your little ones, especially in places like this.
While parents are split on whether or not the parents of that four-year-old should be held responsible.
You wonder, you know, where everyone was when the kid got in there.
No one we spoke to blamed the zoo for the child winding up inside the gorilla enclosure.
I don't think the zoo's at fault for that.
They just wish Harambe could have been saved.
I just don't think they should have killed the gorilla. I think tranquilizer or something, but I don't think he should have been killed.
The zoo's director, Thane Maynard, has said a tranquilizer might have taken minutes to take effect and further agitated the 400-plus pound animal.
You got to do what you have to do. The zoo has to do what they have to do to keep people safe.
Sad situation all around. Praying for the family. Hope the kid's okay, but hope it maybe teaches everyone else a lesson that they need to keep a closer eye on their children. Don't let them out of your sight.
While the gorilla exhibit remains closed for the foreseeable future, the rest of the zoo is open. Meantime...
Okay, now wait a minute.
About to show you some video footage from the Cincinnati Zoo. I'm just going to call this video Stupid Humans. First off, the gorilla is caged up, obviously, so people can come view it and see it. It can't live in its normal environment. And some woman that had a bunch of kids running all over the place, and so she wasn't watching all of them. And one of them made its way into the gorilla habitat area, into the gorilla cage at the zoo. I did the research on that, so I know this is true. So this four-year-old kid makes it way into the habitat down there where the gorilla is. When the kid gets down there, it's obvious from the video footage that the gorilla is trying to protect the kid. It puts the kid close to him and just trying to protect the kid. It's very obvious. But the humans, the child naturally is scared, starts screaming, and all the humans start screaming at the gorilla. And then the mother starts screaming at the gorilla. So the people that run the zoo or whatever eventually find out what's happening, and they shoot and kill the gorilla. Gorilla had been there, I think, like 17 years or something, no problems, but they shoot and kill the gorilla. Makes no sense at all. Why not just tranquilize a gorilla? I mean, it sounds like they're very unprepared. It's horrible, it really is. And the child is injured, I don't think it was because of the gorilla. The child may have been injured when they shot the gorilla and the gorilla landed on top of the child, because a gorilla weighs hundreds of pounds.
Ha ha ha!
Getting this nighttime news alert, the Orange County Sheriff's Office is, the search is on now for a child not far from Disney. Apparently, the child had a run-in with an alligator.
Just horrible. Robin Simmons has a few more details for us. What happened, Robin?
Well, this happened around 9:30, and according to the Orlando Sentinel, this two-year-old was dragged into the Seven Seas Lagoon. This is near the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa at Disney property. That two-year-old has not been found. The Orange County Sheriff's deputies desperately searching for this child. There is crime scene tape around that lagoon, but so far the child has not been found. Again, a two-year-old dragged by an alligator into the Seven Seas Lagoon in Orlando. That's near the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Of course, we will be continuing to get more information on this and pass it along to you. For now, live at the Satellite Center, Robin Simmons, 7 News 19.
Oh, my, how horrible. Okay, Robin, thanks.
And we'll be right back.
At about 1:45 today, members of the Orange County Sheriff's Office dive team located what is believed to be the remains of the deceased, a two-year-old, and I'll identify him in just a few moments. At about 3:30 today, we recovered the remains of the two-year-old from the water, and that body has now been turned over to the Orange County Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy. The family, I'm going to go ahead and identify. The parents are Matt and Melissa Graves from Elkhorn, Nebraska. The two-year-old is Lane Graves. I will share with you that the child was found, his body was completely intact. And so at this time, we will go through the formality of making a formal identification.
Okay, and so... Now,
I do not believe that body was totally intact.
The body was
completely intact.
I don't believe that. Not with
we think we found what might be the remains. He started out with might be the remains of the child.
Yeah, understand the wording.
My condolences go out to the family.
Yes, really.
But first of all, let's remember, y'all wanted, right, Harambe should not have been killed, but now they killed five alligators to try to find the baby, which you know if it's in the damn alligator's stomach, it's dead. So why would you go and kill five more alligators that were in their own natural habitat? They're not at the zoo.
That's where they live.
That's where they live. Okay, and you kill those alligators to try to find a baby. Why do you even need the baby's mangled body that's been in the alligator?
Oh,
the baby's gone. The baby is gone. Because what in the world? I would not even allow Peppy and Jamie, my two dogs, to wade in the water. I don't care if it's 2 inches in Florida. Because everybody knows that alligators will come up in your yard and eat your dog. Everybody knows that in Florida. That's Florida, alligators. They have places with alligator alleys where the alligators will cross the street and tear your car up. And you better hope that the native Indians over in that area will come out and help you. Yeah. Mm. On the way
Black Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Black Rose. Does anyone know the jaw pressure or pound pressure of the jaw bones when the alligator opens his mouth and closes his mouth? What's the pressure of that jaw bone?
What is the pressure?
But I'm sure it's enough to break your leg easily.
Yeah.
And for a child that's 2 years old, that's like a big piece of hamburger.
Yeah, I mean, if he grabbed the child, that's it in the story.
Yes.
That's meat.
That's it.
The baby's unfortunately
dead. That child's torn in half. That child's torn in half before even got under the water.
Yeah, and they drowned the babies, they say. So, I mean, why you even have to say that you found the baby intact? That in and of itself was gross. But see, and again, these people are so hypocritical in so many ways. You wanted the other little family, the black family, you wanted those other children taken away. Now, this family in Florida, they have three other children. So where are all those same people that was talking in cash 3 weeks ago, talking about where you need to be watching your children? Oh, what were you doing? Well, what were these parents doing?
Right.
Now, where you had to get up. In the article, it says the parents had to get up and come and get the child. The child was in 1 foot, a foot of water.
But
you mean to tell me you got to get up? And it's at night. Didn't it happen at night? Why
you have
your child out there? Now, I'll tell you what somebody's theory was. Now, well, I'm not even going to bring that up because...
They said they were watching a movie.
Why are you watching a movie and your child is wandering around at night in Florida?
Like,
at night.
Really?
In the Florida Everglades. Mm. Now, what sense does that make, though? I mean, what were you doing? Were you having sex? Were you drinking? I mean, what was so important that you were distracted from watching your child?
Right.
So, you know, those same people...
And what does
Petta
have to say about that?
Where's Petta? Where are they? Where are they? Where are those same... And I hope that I can track down... We need to start a... Delta, you like to start those hashtags. We should start a hashtag about that. Hashtag Harambe, hashtag five alligators.
You know what they don't tell you about Harambe? What they don't tell you about Harambe, he was the lead gorilla. That means the other gorillas looked to him for strength, for leadership. He was the lead gorilla. Can you imagine what psychological trauma they are in, knowing that their leader is gone?
Exactly. And you know, like I said, is that gorilla? If that gorilla was maybe another color, they would not have looked at it like that. And it just goes to show, like Dr. Francis Chris Wilson talks about, when some people see black or gorilla, just like the movie Godzilla. It's all intertwined, and it's a whole psychotic process.
It's King Kong.
That is you.
King Kong.
King Kong. Thank you.
King Kong. King Kong had that white woman in his hands, and he pulled up her dress and took his index finger, indicated the index finger was his penis, and he tickled her abdominal area. And what'd she do? She just laughed. She said,
Oh Lord have mercy.
But the index finger was a replacement for the penis. But King Kong was a black man messing with a nice white lady.
Yeah. But you know what, Candy, but remember when you, and I know you've seen some of the postcards, and Aja, I know you have too, because we had them in Slave Haven Museum. Remember when